This episode of Game On brought to you by Ford, featuring the EcoBoost engine with turbocharger and direct injection. Look for EcoBoost in the 2012 Explorer and Edge, the 2013 Escape, and at Ford.com/technology.
It's Sunday, February 26th, and I, for one, love all the dubstep in video game trailers. Just kidding. I hope it bass drops itself out of a moving plane. Twisted Metal is finally back in our lives. New Challenger host Anthony Carboni helps Veronica decide if that's a good thing. Spoiler alert, it isn't! Scott Johnson of The Instant says, 2012 is the last year of MMOs as we know them. Is he just a crazy old wizard barking at the moon? Spoiler alert, yes! She's back. Daphne the Gamer Girl sobs her way through a review of Dear Esther. Spoiler alert, it's still smoking! Hey, why is that Lana Del Rey song called Video Games? They don't make video games called Empty-Eyed Fat-Lipped Warbler. It's time for Game On!
Shazbot, we are on for Game On. I'm Brian Brushwood.
And I'm Veronica Belmont.
Hey, are you still playing Star Wars The Old Republic?
Not as much as I should be, and so much so that I got an email from BioWare being like, your companions miss you, please come back.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They're like trolling you? You're like, why you don't love your companions?
It's not trolling, it's more like reminding me that I haven't logged in the past week and that it's time to, I'm missing some adventures.
Is that a bad sign when they treat it like it's homework that you really ought
a
to get on
bit.
That leveling?
Well, it's like peer pressure, it made me feel kind of bad. And then they actually, I tweeted about it and the Star Wars The Old Republic Twitter account got back to me and was like, yeah, and next time we're going to send you a picture of your companions with like the saddest puppy dog eyes you have ever seen in
awesome.
Your life.
No.
And I was like, that's kind of cool, but also I still feel bad.
You know what? I got sick this whole week. In fact, last week, if you look, if I had a mellow energy, it was because I was high on meds.
I don't think anyone noticed if you had mellow energy.
Okay, well, good. But the point is like sometime around Wednesday, I was like, well, if I'm sick, I'm just going to finally get to play Old Republic. And I log in for the first time in like 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and it says, our servers are down for maintenance. Right?
No, servers down.
I missed my chance.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, by the way, just a reminder, we record live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at live.twit.tv. Be sure to tweet reactions live at @twitgameon, and we will read them at the end of the show. And without your nurturing tweets, OMG Chad will never get the courage to speak at the end of the show. The poor little lamb. Aw, poor Chad.
Yeah, don't forget, when it's done, it's time to play Shut Up and Play. It's our LAN party where the staff of Game On plays all comers in a storm of jovial live stream camaraderie and hateful profanity. Tonight, we're playing Unreal Tournament 2004. And because you've been too busy organizing your Albert Nobbs-themed Oscar party, here's a week's worth of news in the system update.
Wondering if the Vita will support your favorite PS2 or PS3 titles? First, you have a criminally short attention span. Second, bad news. First, you have a criminally short attention span. Second, bad news. PlayStation announced on their official blog that they have no plans to support titles from either of their most recent consoles. However, an announcement is coming for those eager to download some PS1 classic titles.
Part of my job is managing people's expectations, so, stop it. Stop thinking about how awesome the game could be, unquote. Wait, that can't be right. All right, here's an exact quote. Quote, part of my job is managing people's expectations, so, stop it. Stop thinking about how awesome the game could be, unquote. Okay, could I get that in a weird analogy, please? Quote, just imagine it's a new M. Night Shyamalan movie, unquote. Really? You want us to compare this to someone who had his creative peak in the early 2000s, only to consistently decline in quality till he became a total joke? Mark Wahlberg, do you think this is a good strategy?
What? No!
Vulture alert! We have a free incoming multiplayer game! Repeat! Free game! Killzone 3 is spinning off their multiplayer experience into a free-to-play offering starting this week on PSN. There will be a level cap that you'll have to pay $14.99 to shed if you so choose. But otherwise, play until your face falls off without spending a thin dime. The full Killzone 3 game, including the single-player other stuff, is out now.
Are you really annoyed with the bugs in Battlefield 3? Are you so annoyed you started calling it Bugglefield 3? Just me? Okay, well, there's good news. EA has released a massive 4,903-word list of bug fixes spanning over all platforms. Increased the accuracy of recoil added when a player is fully suppressed. Fixed. Added horns to all Jeeps. Honk away. The MAV can no longer be used as an elevator. Going up? to a bug-free battlefield.
Mass Effect 3 drops March 6, but the rage over a controversial new launch day DLC has already erupted all over EA's face. The issue centers around a $10 add-on available for free on the Collector's Edition, retailing for $79.99, which contains a new character who factors heavily into the Mass Effect mythology. The very existence of this content has left many to tag it as proof that Mass Effect, in the most basic form, retailing for $59.99, is incomplete. YouTube pundit Cynical Brit even went so far as to call for a boycott to protest what he sees as unethical, ruthless profiteering.
All right, so DLCs have become an increasingly controversial topic, especially in AAA titles, especially at launch. The question is, did EA go too far with this particular DLC?
Are you asking me?
Because I'm asking you.
I tend to think so.
No, okay, but...
This kind of drives me crazy. I mean, it's launch day DLC. It's central to the main plot line. I don't understand why this is being accepted.
Okay, well,
see
clearly
why this
it's not,
how this is really okay.
Clearly, it's not central to the gameplay because apparently
it's
the whole game is playable
character.
Without the character
yeah,
being
know,
there,
but
right?
It seems like... For me, DLC is something, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm totally off base with this one, but I always view DLC as something that I want to do after I've played the main quest line.
So this is,
after
and this
I've
is what I think it
the
is.
Main part of the
I
game.
Think everybody's gripes is just that they're accustomed to DLC occurring 2 months later after they've gotten bored of the game and they want something extra. But the fact is that even then, they're planning on this DLC from the beginning. What's literally the only mistake they've made is by making the DLC available 2 months earlier than they otherwise would have. And now all of a sudden everyone's all in an uproar, like, ah, game's broken, nothing's there.
I don't know, the chat room seems to agree with me.
Oh, with you?
I think the chat room
oh my God, look, literally all they did was offer more awesome special sauce for you, and you guys are mad.
I'm already paying money for a game. I don't want to know that I'm getting a different, lesser gameplay experience than my other friends who want to shell
out
$20 more
it's like,
on launch day.
If I give you black coffee and then offer the chance for you to upgrade to a double half cap frappuccino with latte extra BS, then it's like, what's wrong with people who want to get extra
sauce? No, it's like ordering a coffee and getting a decaf instead of the full calf coffee you paid
for. That's not true, though. That's not true at all. The game is original. It's the entire original game, and this character is central to, like, the novels.
I don't like the novelization
out there. It's extra stuff available.
So put it later. For me, it's really about the timing.
See? Oh, that's what I just said. You just said back the thing I just said. You can't do that. It is. So if they waited 2 months, you'd suddenly be happy with this.
Yes, I would be more okay with it, but that's still a major problem.
Okay,
that's
right.
Still annoying people who are buying the game on launch day.
Okay.
Or pre-ordered it even.
Okay.
I don't want to know that I paid money for a game, like a good amount of money, like what, $60?
Sure,
like
sure.
Paying for the full game and then finding out that there is an aspect of the game that I am missing out on. Yes, I could pay more money for it, but that's such a pain in the butt on launch day.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, once I get done with the main storyline, once I'm done with the main part of the game, sure. I'm willing to then shell out DLC money to continue the awesome experience.
But you realize all you're doing essentially is begging for them to manipulate you psychologically to feel better about the DLC. That's all they've done is make
yes,
the exact same content.
Yes, manipulate me psychologically.
Available.
That's
okay.
Fine.
Right.
That's what everyone else
right.
does.
Fair enough. All
just,
right.
Just stay with it. All right. All anyway, right. Let's move on. Let's move on. We're both getting a little hot and bothered
I know.
Here.
It's getting heavy in here.
All right. So some fond memories warm your heart when they return to you. A reminder that life is, you know, worth living. Then there's Twisted Metal. We review the franchise's return with the help of a very special guest this week on The Score. All right, we are joined by new Challenger host, Anthony Carboni. Anthony, are you there?
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. I didn't
oh,
see you there,
you?
Anthony.
Are you drinking your decaf coffee that you paid full price for?
Okay, and now you have
to,
really?
No, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
2 months and you're still back for some sugar.
I'm just saying.
Right.
All right. So I wanted to talk to you about your Twisted Metal review. Most of the reviews out there have been pretty positive, I would say, but you got a lot of flack for your particular review. What did you say about the game?
You know what? I got a lot of flack for just saying the game was okay.
Just
that's
okay.
All. I just said it was okay.
That's not what I read in the YouTube comments. They said that you wished death upon the children of anyone associated with the game. That didn't happen? You could deny that?
I put a curse on David Jaffe and his entire family.
Oh, but his little girls are so cute.
I rubbed the side of his face and I said, thinner.
With the baby beaver blanket.
All right, well, let's talk about the game a little bit. Do you think that people who sure. played the original are gonna be psyched for this? Do you feel like it's true to the original?
I think it is, and I think my main issue is it's too true to the original games. You know, I think Twisted Metal came out during sort of the gaming industry's awkward teen years. And one of the biggest and coolest things about Twisted Metal was we had not seen a lot of stuff with an exploitative or violent or even kind of like a more adult slant. Mm-hmm. So that sort of tone was very novel to us. And that, you know, we've all kind of grown up. And I feel like the tone and the storytelling of Twisted Metal and even the gameplay hasn't really grown up with us.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that, because one of the things I found most awkward about the single-player mode was the cutscenes and the story, and it just felt a little bit out of place from my point of view. Did you get that sensation at all?
They came off very self-indulgent in a way. You know, they came off very much like, well, there are very few games that need a 7-minute cutscene every 3 levels. You know what I mean? And these came off very much like, well, I'm just going to do these cutscenes because I want them. Mm-hmm. And they felt there, you know, when you do something like exploitation horror, you have to do something that's either going to shock your audience, or disgust your audience, or, you have to be self-aware and kind of a little humorous and tongue in cheek enough to entertain your audience. And I really felt like I was watching like late night basic cable horror, you know?
So
it felt very generic.
What were some of the things that you were hoping to see that didn't show up in there? Did you have any expectations going into it?
I tried not to have any expectations going in, other than I think there will probably be clowns in cars shooting guns. And, right. And there I was pleasantly... Yeah, I got that. So that was good. No, you know, I try not to go into game reviews with any sort of expectation. Mm-hmm. So... But I will say that you know, going in, when they spent so much time on the game, you know, it was originally supposed to be downloadable only multiplayer game, and then they spent all this time adding the single player, about 2 years adding single player onto the game. So I did expect, I guess, a slightly more epic single player campaign than I got.
Gotcha. So my experience was, I think the game is really centered around the multiplayer. I think that's really where it shines. That's really what it's supposed to do. And I found that the gameplay was fun. It took me a while to get used to the controls. I think there's definitely some work to be done in that respect. It took me a while to kind of get comfortable with actually moving within the gameplay world. But after
it felt
I
like
played,
a 10-year-old game with the control, right? Like you felt like you were playing a game from 10 years ago.
Well, it's a 17-year-old game at this point. So if they're going off their classic... kind of classic aspect there a little bit. But I think the weapons are really fun. The car choices are really fun. The levels are interesting to look at. I think that graphically, as Scott Johnson would say, how are the graphics? And they're pretty good. They're pretty good. And it just took me a while to get used to it. I think it does feel like the single player mode is tacked on a little bit. But multiplayer, I think, is where this game shines. And it's meant to, for sure.
But here's what's interesting to me is, you know, a lot of people have been saying that to me where it's like, oh, well, this is a multiplayer game. Mm-hmm. But my, you know, not necessarily. Well, my favorite mode in single player is not available in multiplayer, which is the electric cage match mode.
Yeah, that one was hard. Yeah.
There's no multiplayer electric cage match. And there's also no multiplayer racing modes. Mm-hmm. Which they added the racing stuff into the campaign. And so I thought it was interesting for a game that everybody's telling me, oh no, you got to focus on multiplayer. Multiplayer is kind of a kneecapped version of the single player in a lot of ways.
Now, I'm on the outside here, and I haven't played any of the Twisted Metal games, but I haven't heard either of you guys talk about whether or not there's a satisfying dynamic to the actual gameplay. It sounds like you guys are frustrated with the UI, you're frustrated with the physics engine.
No, I mean... I had fun playing the game. The game is definitely a fun game, for me at least. I had some trouble with the controls, but that's just me not playing a lot of car battle games, for example. You know, it took me a little time to get used to it. But once I did, I found that it was really satisfying to land big, you know, explosions on other cars, to take out people with a massive, you know, like throwing chainsaws and submachine guns and all sorts of the different crazy chaotic weapons that they've built into the game. And so that part is really fun. It's fast. It's colorful, it's exciting, and if you're a fan of the Twisted Metal franchise, then this is definitely going to be something you're into. But for someone
Absolutely.
Who maybe hasn't played Twisted Metal or isn't, you know, familiar with that kind of genre, then it might not be something that first-time players will enjoy because they're used to more traditional games.
Hmm. Well, it's interesting. I had sort of like I was thinking more about it, and I think the sort of thing is like the car combat genre is one of those genres that kind of fell off in the same way that like JRPGs fell off or fighting games fell off, where they just have, it just hasn't aged as gracefully as some other genres have. Well, you know, and
go ahead.
And so I'm just kind of wondering if it's the sort of thing that needs an absolute entire facelift, or if it's the kind of thing that needs to kind of gracefully fall off. Because I was thinking about it, and I'm like, well, what would I want out of this that it didn't give me? And I couldn't think about much other than the total package was kind of ultimately dissatisfying, just because maybe the concept is sort of, you know, gone its entire course.
Mm-hmm. So any final thoughts on the game or the genre itself?
Definitely skip those cutscenes. You can just press X and go right past them.
All right. Well, you guys out there, if you think Anthony is a big, fat, stupid liar, then Twisted Metal is available now on the PS3 for $59.99. Thank you so much for joining us, Anthony.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you online?
YouTube.com/NewChallenger, and I'm on Twitter at @acarboni.
Right on. He's also on this week's Scam School. Take a look at that.
Oh, sweet.
Hey, so last week, a game released that really got a lot of people talking called Dear Esther. Doesn't have any levels, no puzzles, no power-ups, no weapons, or a point score. It is, however, an extremely well-written immersion into the life of a lonely man on a seemingly deserted island, implied to be dying of a social disease as his regrets come back to haunt him. So the question is this a video game without any of the fun parts of the video game, or is it a piece of art that completely redefines how we think of the medium? For a nuanced look at Dear Esther, we turn to our own correspondent, Daphne, the gamer girl.
Wait, really? Seriously, Daphne?
Yes, definitely Daphne, the gamer girl.
Hey, you guys. For those of you who don't follow my second channel, I want you to know that February's been a really tough month for me. With Valentine's Day and all, I've just been so lonely. But I'm going to take my mind off everything today by playing this new game that everyone's been talking about. It's called Dear Esther.
2 hours later.
Daphne, the gamer girl, girls rule.
Oh my god, you guys. Nobody told me this was a game about like death and illness and depression and syphilis. It's basically a game about my life right now. Except for the syphilis part. That's a job for Jessica.
Slut. Point one.
Oh my god, guys, why is this so sad? This is like if the Anne Frank family passed the time by watching The Notebook. Also, nothing happens until the end. Still waiting. Point two. Seriously, nothing. I'm just walking around and crying. Hey, oh, is this like a puzzle? No, it's more wind and sadness. How about I solve the puzzle of how to eat this entire pint of ice cream so I can forget about how much I cried? Ice cream is where problems go to sleep. Point three. Why did this have to come out now? Tomorrow would have been my 4-month anniversary with my ex-boyfriend, but instead it's going to be his 1-month anniversary with Jessica. Ghost!
Whore name summoned ghosts. Point four.
Let's get one thing out of the way. This is not a video game. It's a barely interactive but emotionally engrossing story. The real question here is if it's well told enough to warrant a $10 purchase. It's gorgeous and emotionally affecting, but how long do you want to spend gasping for air in a sea of despair, regret, and longing? Since we play as a madman, the familiar problems of an unreliable narrator plot come to the fore. Once you know you can't trust anything, nothing holds weight. Poe is an obvious inspiration for Esther in a good way, since he obviously is the master of the genre. But make no mistake, this is depressing as literature, let alone a video game. It seriously makes the cask of Amontillado look like a R.L. Stein softcover. We prefer goosebumps! Eek! Ghost Horse Return! If you like being sad and stuff, I say definitely buy Dear Esther. If you want something with challenges and interactivity, this might not be for you. So, between a Daphne and a Daphne, I'm going to give this a Daph. Maybe. What's the saddest you've ever been? Tell me in the comments. Do you think my ex-boyfriend's going to be sad on our ghost anniversary tomorrow? I hope he thinks about me for 2 hours and then throws himself off a communications tower. New videos every day forever and ever and ever and ever until the sun collapses. I'll see you next time.
Daphne.
I don't hate on Daphne.
She's just got a different opinion. She's got a different take.
No, I mean, she has a good opinion. I mean, she's just a little,
made a Cask of Amontillado reference.
Touche.
She's very classy.
All right. Well, if you want to weep like Daphne, Dear Esther is available for $9.99 on Steam. The tears are free.
All right. Well, scratch my back with a hacksaw. We are halfway done with this here show, but don't fear. There's a ton of more of schlock to come. Scott Johnson of The Instant says we're living on the last days of MMOs as we know them. He explains himself to Miss Veronica Belmont, and an old iOS game grips my brain with its spindly fingers and drives me into obsession. All is explained in Appdiction. But first, isn't somebody paying for this somehow? Somewhere? Somehow? Let's find out about that. Who's paying for this?
This episode of Game On brought to you by Ford featuring EcoBoost. EcoBoost is the engine technology from Ford that delivers the power of a larger engine in a smaller one. We're talking about Ford redesigning the conventional engine to meet fuel efficiency standards. They created EcoBoost engine technology by reducing the number of cylinders to improve efficiency and compensating for the loss of horsepower and torque through a combination of technologies including direct injection and turbocharging. Here's how it works. EcoBoost combines two technologies, direct injection and turbocharging. Direct injection produces a cooler, denser charge that generates more power per drop of fuel, while the two small engine-cooled turbochargers spool up more quickly than a single large turbo. Energy from the engine's exhaust, which would otherwise be wasted, rotates the turbine wheels. Each turbine was coupled to a compressor that pressurizes incoming air, significantly increasing output per liter. You experience instantaneous low-end torque responsiveness with virtually no turbo lag. Look for the 2.0-liter EcoBoost engine on the 2012 Explorer and Edge. The 2013 Escape, coming spring 2012, will offer 1.6-liter and 2.0-liter EcoBoost options. You can learn more about this and other technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology.
Hello, and we are joined right now by my dear friend Scott Johnson of the Instance Podcast, among many other things. Scott, how are you?
Hey, V. It's good to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So I wanted to bring you on to talk about the state of MMOs and MMORPGs. So WoW lost 1 million subscribers last year. That is a huge number. Why are they hemorrhaging people like this? And is it because of the subscription service? Do they need to change something to keep people from leaving?
Well, it's interesting you say that. I mean, 1 million subscribers lost for a game that once had up to 12 million subscribers seems like a lot, no matter how you paint it. 1 million people is 1 million people, but it is officially more people than most MMOs have as their entire player base. So what is a small 1% or 10% drop in subscriber base for WoW is a complete and utter devastation of another MMO. And I think it's important to look at it in that context. But it does seem to spell something, and there are a lot of factors in this. And you could say, well, this is a 6-year-old game working on 7 years. Its time has come to sort of settle back a little bit. Other competition comes that's somewhat intriguing. People may shift over to that. But I have a sneaking suspicion that this has more to do with the injection of free-to-play models, which are still evolving and are still very young. But we're seeing that come in and pose a real threat that subscription MMOs may not have been prepared for, or at the very least, are going to have to change the way they do business in order to either combat or, sort of join the party with. It's kind of hard to tell at this point, but there's going to be some changes.
I know you said that 1 million compared to having over 12 million people is not that big of a difference, but in the grand scheme of things, WoW has always been the 800-pound gorilla in the room that no one thought could ever be toppled, and now they're losing a significant percentage of their population in recent years. And I have a feeling that the new add-ons, the new stuff coming on with Mist of Pandaria isn't going to be compelling enough to continue to grow that subscriber base.
Well, that's a big question, and it's certainly on the minds of everyone at Blizzard, but also I think the devoted player base of WoW is very curious about what happens when Mist of Pandaria comes. I mean, we hear about these pandas, and we're so excited about playing a panda in a game, and both you and I got to play a little bit of Pandaria action while we were at BlizzCon this year. It isn't the kind of expansion that normally a broad base of hardcore MMO players get super excited about. But we are, this I know for sure, we are in the middle of what we typically call the between expansion slump. And this happens every time, and it certainly happens for WoW. And what happens is you've got people who have finished content, they're done, they've gone all the end game they care to go, and now they're kind of just sort of waiting. And this is an interesting year, and last year too, because we had two new subscription MMOs that posed a decent amount of threat to their dominance. That being Rift had a really solid launch. And the Old Republic, Star Wars The Old Republic, which continues to do pretty well. they're nowhere near the player base that WoW continues to have. But it will be interesting to see come, hopefully later this year, we don't know for sure, when Mist is released, if that is enough to bump it back up to the numbers it likes to have, if they get a good 500 person or so injection into the system. The thing to remember, it's really important here, WoW did something, or Blizzard in general, did something that nobody's ever tried before, and that is, let's give away another AAA title for free if you, our beloved WoW players, promise to stay with us for a year. We'll give you Diablo 3, you stay with us, you get access to the Mist beta when that comes out, and we're going to, you know, this is our way of keeping you and giving you a free game. That's a pretty big deal, and it seemed to retain probably somewhere in the range of 2 million players as the current guess. And if that's true, you know, that was a successful tactic, and I was one of those who jumped on it. I think a lot of players probably did. So they're having to get creative to maintain this 800-pound gorilla status.
So you mentioned the difference between free-to-play and subscription-based models. And as you said, games like Rift and Star Wars The Old Republic are still going on with that subscription model. Is that proving that that model is still viable, or are they still holding on to an earlier time?
Okay, it is viable, I believe, to a point. And then the thing I'm going to tell you at the end of this changes everything. All bets are off. But as it stands right now, what you've seen is a lot of other MMOs that have been pretenders to the throne come, try their best to be a good subscription model-based MMO, and then go to free-to-play. Games like Star Trek Online, games like the most recent switchover was DC Universe Online, which is, by the way, a fantastic free-to-play MMO. And they've all said, everybody who's done this, have come forward and said, look, we've got like 300% increase in players. We're making more money than we did with subscriptions. It's a great model for people who can't maintain the subscription model. The problem is the market looks like it can only really handle 1 to 2 major MMOs that want you to pay monthly to play them. Beyond that, you're not going to be able to share that player base. So I think what you'll end up seeing is one of these other two dominant players, probably Rift is my guess, go free to play at some point.
So I got a question then.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind, you mentioned, we'll take DC Universe Online as an example here. Obviously, they started off with a traditional subscription model, and then they went free-to-play. Could they have done much, much better if they launched as free-to-play? Wouldn't that be a bigger hype engine that would get so many more people into the game right from the beginning? Like, obviously, they got a lot of money from subscribers during that window that they were charging month-to-month, but could they have made more money by generating more interest by just launching free-to-play right from the beginning?
Well, you're not wrong about that. I think that they probably would have done better out of the gate. It would have been a different kind of expectation on the part of players. And their model they've chosen to go with is an interesting one. That game, for all intents and purposes, is fully playable. There's not a lot of sort of nickel and diming happening as you level in that game. Where the extra money comes from is, I want the Flash expansion. I want this certain villain expansion. It's $10. They're reasonable prices for reasonable chunks of content. But for the most part, people are able to play that game completely through without having to deal with spending a dime. And it's working for them, and people are paying for those bonus pieces of content. So, yes, they would have, but you got to remember, Brian, everybody who gets into this market, they want Blizzard money. They want WoW status. They want that piece of the pie.
They're seduced by the opportunity. Right. They're buying lottery tickets, hoping to be the next big thing.
You're exactly right. Now, here's what changes everything, and this is the major point I want to make. You could even see WoW one day going free-to-play, or bigger chunks of it going free-to-play. Rift is already 20 levels of free-to-play that just launched. You're going to see these companies try different things to stay afloat with their existing games. But whatever Blizzard is doing with Titan, codename Titan, we don't know what that game is yet. Whatever that is, I think all bets are off. Blizzard can make something and say it's 20 a month and it's 80 to buy it and millions will still do it. So I'm not saying they're sticking to a subscription model for Titan. I don't know that for sure. And there's a lot of rumors that it will be some sort of free-to-play model. But whatever it is, anybody else in that business has to be nervous, and I will never count Blizzard out when it comes to new projects. They know what they're doing. So whatever the crap Titan is, everybody's going to have to just sort of go throw their hands up and say, well, how do we compete now in this new paradigm, like we had to compete in the WoW paradigm? And like it or not, that is the business of MMOs at the state.
Well, it sounds to me like you're saying that basically Blizzard is unbeatable. That there is not, what can another company do to possibly even catch up at this point? If what you're saying is true.
Well, I don't. I'm as
$1 million question, right? If you knew that, sure, you'd make your own MMO.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as much as I think that Blizzard has you know, incredible staying power, and I think that they, what they make, people definitely pay attention to. They're one of these companies that can run their own annual convention whose tickets sell out in 3 seconds and fill a convention hall with, you know, 60,000 people if they so choose to. They are able to do a lot and wield a lot of power in this business, and it's because they take the time it takes that is needed to make amazing AAA titles, and they've never let people down. Now, you know, Warcraft 3 may not be somebody's cup of tea, but it's plenty of people's cup of tea, and it's an amazing experience, and they did really well with it. They are a threat because of their commitment to quality and their desire to only put out games that are of the best quality, of the most polished, the most finished. They put out alphas that feel like finished games from other companies. And because they're willing to do that and put the money at stake to do it, they will always be a huge threat. Can they fail? Absolutely anybody can. But I would not bet, if I was a betting man, you just said, here's 50 grand, which one do you want to bet on? I will always bet on Blizzard. At least at this stage, they have yet to make a major misstep. And that has to make people like BioWare and like Tryon and everybody else a little bit nervous, because whatever's coming next, it's going to be a big freaking deal, and we're all going to have to play.
So Brian and I have basically argued incessantly about the, you know, the purchasing of downloadable content in order to sustain a game like Team Fortress 2, for example. So where do you fall on that barometer? Are you more into paying a monthly fee and getting the full game, you know, the most game possible, or are you more into getting the baseline game and then paying for additional content as you go?
Well, outside of giving my opinion on this Mass Effect thing, which I'm totally excited for that game. I can't wait. Mass Effect is a fantastic experience, and I'm super stoked for the sixth. I think the DLC thing is weird, but when it comes to MMOs, there is a sense with players who have been doing this a long time. I've been playing MMOs since really, you know, Ultima Online I played forever ago. So I've been playing them for a long time. Lots of different models have come and gone. You know, WoW kind of turned that whole thing upside down and turned this small, you know, weird business into this huge juggernaut. And having seen all of that, there's a piece of me that likes a curated monthly fee and a curated game based on those monthly fees, meaning it's just, there's the fee, but then everything's open to you. And there's no weirdness about, well, if you want this better sword, we need $5. If you want this better quest, then you need to pay us 10 or whatever. There's just this nice feeling that somebody's taking care of you, and they've made players feel that way. And so when something free to play comes along, we just kind of go, I don't know about this new way of playing video games, and we kind of aren't sure about it. I feel like it's generational, and I feel like there will be a class of gamers who are growing up right now who are more than happy, as are their parents, to play DC Universe Online because it's free, and they find out it's a good game, and they don't have these stigmas about whether it's, you know, free to play or whether it's something you had to pay monthly for. That forward is what will change things. I think that a lot of us are stodgy, and we're like, well, we like this curated thing. All of that being said, I think my bottom line on this is, if the game is great, compelling, and draws us in all the time, I don't think whether it's free or going to cost us money is to make the big difference. The goal is it a compelling experience? If it is, the players will come. And right now, Blizzard is the best at creating these compelling experiences. Others do well in some places and terrible in other ways, but they've got the market cornered a little bit. It's all about what competition can rise up, copy their model of success, because there is a model there. People are just afraid to follow it because it costs them a lot of money and a lot of extra time to really polish things. But if they'll do that, you know, Blizzard maybe has a chance to move over a little bit and let somebody else come in.
All right, and real fast, what games are you looking forward to coming up in the future?
Holy crap. So Mass Effect 3 is a big deal for me. I'm totally excited about that. I'm really excited about the DLC path for Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, which you guys had Kurt Schilling on a few episodes ago. Mm-hmm. I really like that game. I'm having a fantastic time with it. But the things I'm looking forward to most this year, probably overall, are on the PC and mostly indie titles. I'm having so much fun with things like Dear Esther. What a weird freaking deal that was. I'm playing a game called Pineapple Smash Crew.
I saw you playing that.
That game is so good. It's ridiculous. But these independent titles that are coming out on the PC these days, and so relatively cheaply, are just really, you know, tickling my fun bone. And I'm you may want to edit that part out. But I love these kind of games. I hope this year is full of indie goodness, and, you know, can't wait to see what some of these smaller developers bring.
All right, Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, you can find all of Scott's shows over on frogpants.com, and he is on Twitter at Scott Johnson now. You lost the extra life.
I did. It's
legit.
You know, you got your real name. You got to go for it.
I know it. Don't I know it? And you got the morning stream every morning at 10. What is it? 10 a.m.?
It's 10 Eastern, so it's so you guys in your time, it's 7 a.m. for you West Coasters. But it's myself and Brian Abbott every Monday through Thursday. We do a morning show every day, and it's a blast. But frogpants.com's got it all. They should head over there and check it out.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, and we'd love to have you back again sometime.
Thanks very much.
All right. Take it away, Brian.
Well, if everything is about to change for MMOs, then it's high time we looked at the biggest moments we've enjoyed so far. That's the subject of this week's Leech Sheet. Talking about the top five moments that shaped MMO history. Starting off with number five, Corrupted Blood, World of Warcraft. Disease Outbreak is not simply relegated to our physical form. No! World of Warcraft patch 1.7 brought us the first 20-player dungeon raid by the name of Zul'Gurub. Amongst the carnage and attempting to defeat a jungle god and his minions, players had to contend with a Corrupted Blood disease, which slowly sapped life from the affected party and anyone around him. Now, this was supposed to be confined to Zul'Gurub until some Ebola monkey finished his raid and coughed all over Azeroth. The entire game was soon affected, and lower-level players started dropping like drunk flies. Eventually, the Corrupted Blood was contained, and things returned to normal, with everyone learning a valuable lesson. Chiefly, that Zul'Gurub is a funny word. Then at number four, the Great Blizzard of Second Life. First off, shut up. Yes, Second Life is so a massively multiplayer online game. You don't need dragons to have it be an MMO. Here's the deal. Second Life was experiencing record growth and an explosive economy. So one of the biggest Second Life entrepreneurs was an avatar by the name of Anshi Chung. CNET decides to interview her, but surprise, the chat was interrupted by a wafting wave of disembodied dongs. The floating phalluses got so distracting that Chung eventually left the predetermined interview to go to her own virtual apartment. Thinking she was safe, CNET resumed the interview, only this time to be interrupted by floating posters of Chung holding a gigantic mantle in her digital hands. The big lesson, Second Life's tumescent economy was stronger than ever. Number 3, the Phaser Inc. Ponzi Scheme, EVE Online. EVE's in-game currency, ISK, can be used to purchase in-game items, plans, blueprints, or time inside the game. It has legitimate value, and the player-to-player economy is rich and fascinating. It creates this virtual market tossed to and fro against the backdrop of an epic space opera. Also, like in the real world, some people get ripped off. Hardcore. Take Phaser Inc. It was a classic Ponzi scheme run by two friends named Eddie and Mordor. They took in over $51,000 real-world dollars worth of ISK on the promise of a regular 5% interest payout. Surprise, it didn't last very long. The duo went public with their scheme and refused to give back the suckers their monies. The lesson? One does not simply walk up to Mordor and give him your money, because he's, you know, a rip-off artist. Number the dose, Serenity Now Funeral Raid, World of Warcraft. This one is dark, so controversial that you wonder if a game you dump this much time into is simple entertainment or an extension of your real life. In 2006, a Horde Guild officer died of a stroke. To honor her memory, guildmates gathered where she liked to spend her time. Unfortunately, it was on a PvP server on a snowy glen by a body of water. That was until a rival Alliance Guild ran up on their position and murdered the Grievers by the dozens. The brutal attack, although completely encouraged by the game's letter of the law, violated a code beyond Azeroth. The fury that followed can be summed up in this comment directed towards the player who organized the attack. Quote, I hope their dad has a heart attack and dies, and someone runs naked in the funeral home and pushes over the coffin and runs around slapping people screaming, LOL, owned! And the number one moment, the day Lord British died, Ultima Online. So it's 1996, and Ultima Online was still in beta testing. During one of the last server stress tests, creator Richard Garriott, aka Lord British, decided to travel around many of the servers and personally thank those who made the game possible. A rambunctious player by the name of Reigns, who had previously been rapped on the knuckles by Origin for his gameplay during the beta, decided to play a little prank. He stole a Firefield scroll from another onlooker and applied it to the bridge in front of Lord British. Now, Lord British obsessively made his own character invincible, so with a grin he said, haha, nice try, stepped into the fire, and immediately doubled over and died. Pandemonium broke out. The murder became big news in the gaming press. The MMO genre officially had their first major moment. Reigns was later banned from Ultima Online for what Origin classified as unrelated reasons. In reality, a server reset was to blame for Garriott forgetting to assign himself an invulnerability flag before meeting with the riffraff. In lore, it's the day we learned even heroes die.
Oh, yeah. So I was totally working at CNET when that Second Life thing went down.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was that a little bit
good
awkward?
Good times. Good times.
Oh, wow.
Hey, and do you have a favorite MMO moment that we missed? Hit us up at TwitGameOn on Twitter. And also, before anyone says it, Leroy Jenkins was totally fake.
Yeah, dude. That was
everyone
the first one.
Everyone should know that by now.
Yeah, of course. It's pretty obviously fake if you've actually played WoW.
Oh, you know, do we still have Scott on the line, Chad?
You sure do.
Hey, do you have any favorite MMO moments?
Oh, man. You know what? One of my problems is, as you know, V, in fact, Veronica and I and a couple other people founded our guild, and it's now the world's largest gaming guild, and also we're spreading out on all kinds of games,
did Veronica just turn and say, please brag about your awesome guild? What
we're buzz marketing your guild. I'm sorry.
You're like a politician. You're like, I hear what you're saying.
AIE
let me tell you about
life.
My guild. Largest in the world.
Let the man finish his story.
It's all in context, because some of my favorite gaming moments have happened in the context of that guild, and some really big, amazing moments. Some of them sad. We had some members of our guild pass away, and so we had huge funeral processions that ended up disrupting a lot of server stuff, because, you know, a huge number of us were sort of, you know, walking through town and doing this memorial, and then we kind of did that annually for a while and that sort of thing. But as far as like moments in MMOs where I'm just kind of blown away, maybe it's your first raid and you take down your first raid boss. When we took down the Lich King in World of Warcraft, that was a huge deal. In Star Wars The Old Republic here recently, it was my first flashpoint, and just thinking, my gosh, they have created a D&D game in space for me in this scenario, and I love it. They're probably too many to mention, but that's the beauty of these games. Sometimes you make your own fun, and you know, the world is none the wiser.
I will continue buzz marketing our guild by saying, if you want to learn more about AIE, AIE-guild.org is the website, if you want to check it out. Very AIE subtle. For life.
Very subtle. Very sure. Well done. Hey, guys. Well, of course, I don't know if you think about it, but video games aren't always about the new. Sometimes the most powerful experiences come from nagging old experiences like you can't shake, like Chinese water torture for your brain. Madness slowly darkens your vision, transforms you into a soulless monster. Enjoy my personal trip to hell in this week's AppDiction. You know, Drop 7 came out in 2009, but you know what hasn't waned? My obsession with this gall-dang thing. It's the perfect game to keep idle hands busy. Something that doesn't involve a lot of language, so you can play it while you're doing other things. Just something to keep yourself busy. Oh, almost hit 600,000. The concept is simple. Each individual sphere has a number associated with it. As soon as that sphere finds itself in a row or a column with the same number, it detonates and affects the other shapes next to it, oftentimes setting up a chain reaction that's immensely satisfying.
2 weeks later.
Well, I hit 740,000, so suck on that. Now I'm trying for 1,000,000. Probably should take a break. I mean, who wants to be that guy obsessed with a game from 3 years ago, right? It's just that hardcore mode is such a beast. The problem is you never know what numbers you're going to get, so it's important that you make smart decisions early on, or else you get boxed in and screwed at the end.
4 months later.
Are you kidding me? 940,000 points? It was this close to 1,000,000! Are you s***ing me? Drop 7, you know what Drop 7 is? Drop 7 is life. Life. An unending torrent of bullshit. Mistakes that keep going wrong, and no matter what you do, even when you make the right decision, even when you play the right way, the numbers will you. And when you see you f***ed, you're gonna think, well, I'll hang on for just a few more turns. Maybe it'll turn around, but it won't. It won't. It'll f*** you. You have f***ing ruined me. You have f***ing ruined my life. You're gonna f*** me, I'm gonna f*** you. I'm gonna get 1,000,000 points, or I'm gonna die trying.
By the way, that's based on a true story. And the true story being that, like, literally 3 years ago, I installed Drop 7 and I have not stopped playing it. It has been my go-to thing. Somehow I got in my mind that I could get over 1,000,000 points. And that's not a lie. I've gotten up to 940,000. But every moment free I have, I'm always playing Drop 7 because I could do it while I'm listening to an audiobook.
You mad?
Don't look at me that
you
way.
You mad?
I am a little bit mad.
You mad, dog?
I'm having some trouble. It's an issue for me, all right?
We'll get you help. We'll get you the help you need.
Okay, good. Drop 7 is available on iOS. Go ahead, try it, and you will die like me. Hey, we're only seconds away from our live LAN party Shut Up and Play. Who will live? Who will die? Only Glenn Rubenstein knows for sure. What's going on this week, Glenn?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Glenn Rubenstein, producer and co-host of the Twit LAN party Shut Up and Play. Tonight, Unreal Tournament 2004 by popular demand. If you RSVP'd, you should have gotten the email already. If not, go to TwitLive3 in the chat. They'll hook you up with the details how to get in on the action. But next week, Sunday, March 4th, Call of Duty 2, the World War II-based first-person shooter. We're going to be bringing it and having it out, reliving the triumph, the glory, and the horrors of World War II in Call of Duty 2 next Sunday, March 4th on the LAN party. And tonight, we're going to have another grudge match. Bomberman playing it classic style. It's going to be awesome. And with the grudge match, there are winners, there are losers, and sometimes there are moments like this. Chad, can we show what happened last week?
Oh, no! No!
What did you do? I missed this.
Oh, my wife has forbidden me from dancing with other
God,
men now.
Oh, God, this is horrifying!
Take it. Kill it. Kill
it's
it.
Horrifying.
Kill it with fire.
Oh!
Make it go away.
Oh, this is so much worse than the slowdance.
Thank God for the thin layers of cloth that were separating our naughty parts. But you can see all that and more by staying tuned for Shut Up and Play, coming up right after Game On here on Twit.
Mikey, you could have at least played me karaoke singing Mr. Roboto. Why'd you have to play that clip? I hate you.
I didn't get to see any of my highlights from my awesome Team Fortress 2 match.
Yeah, there was highlights too, Chad.
There were highlights. We didn't have to just show the lowlights anyway. And of course, there wouldn't be a LAN party if it weren't for Doghouse Systems. They're the company that provided those kick-ass gaming machines that we'll be playing on tonight. In fact, they only make kick-ass machines. So when you're ready to level up, use the code GAMEON at checkout, and they will double your memory for free. Click on the banner ad on our Twit homepage to learn more about the Double Your Memory promotion.
Hey, we've done it. Your Twitter opinions have bloomed into the beautiful flower known as OMG Chad. Let's listen closely to all of his delicate songs. What do you got for us, Chad?
Thanks. Jessica Forever says, can someone tell Daphne that I am not a whore? I'm really not. So, at Jessica Forever.
Exactly what a whore would say.
Very upset.
You see, you're quick to defend Daphne, even though you criticize
her.
Well,
she's my compatriot.
All right.
She's a colleague. I wouldn't call her a friend, but, you know, we're on
mutual
similar
respect,
ground.
Respect
mutual respect.
Sure.
Mutual respect. What
close
else you got, Chad?
Nice. Game Mage says, wow, World of Warcraft is part of my monthly entertainment budget, along with Netflix, Spotify, and Hulu Plus. I am happy to pay for play.
Ah.
So he is really excited about that. And then finally, Drimenex says, not a question, just saying that the Belmont right and brain is wrong.
The what?
I think he means Brian. Belmont right, Brian wrong.
Oh, Belmont
yeah.
right,
Brian
could say,
wrong.
You know what? Actually, maybe he does mean the brain is
no,
wrong.
No.
Brian, however,
the
is
the Belmont brain
right.
is wrong.
I'm telling you, if they just waited 2 months, you guys
the way,
would all be happy.
The way wow. I heard that was that the Belmont right brain is wrong.
The Belmont left brain has it together.
The left
like
brain
that.
Has got her stuff together. All right, is that all we got?
That's all we got.
All right, nice. Thank you guys so much for sending in your messages. And of course, big thanks to Anthony Carboni of New Challenger for joining us, as well as Scott Johnson from The Instance. Next week, game designer, screenwriter, podcaster, and journalist Gary Whitta joins us to make an exclusive announcement of a brand new project. So we will see you guys next time.
Intrigue. See you next week, guys. Check this out. This is awesome. This is from our friends over at Rooster Teeth.
If we have time, I'd like to go to Ilium and relocate my sister's family.
Uh-huh.
My father was extremely wealthy. He wanted the ideal daughter, and he paid a great deal to genetically tailor me.
Uh-huh.
When I learned that my father was more interested in controlling a dynasty than raising a daughter, I left.
Are you browsing Facebook right now?
This is important.
No, I mean, this is totally important. I mean, I didn't mean to make it sound like it's not important, because it's important. I mean, this is really important. I mean, if you're on Facebook, I mean, that's fine.
But this isn't about me.
Uh-huh.
I have a sister, a twin, and he's still hunting her.
Yeah, I'm just
couch.
Cerberus is until now.
Yeah, I'm listening.
She's living a normal life on Ilium, safe and hidden from my father.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps I wouldn't mind if you admired my body.
What?
The only things I can take credit for are my mistakes.
Yeah. Well, what was that stuff about your body?
I have a sister, a twin.
No, yeah, right. No, I mean, you have a sister, a twin. Right, I got that. I'm sorry, did you say earlier something?
I don't like discussing personal matters. Oh.
Oh.
Thank you.
You are not even listening to what I'm saying, are you? Okay, what does that even mean? I mean, are you even listening to what I'm... What are you doing? Are you?
Womp womp.
Don't be absurd. I'll talk to you later.